How do you feel?
Kristen sent me something. Are we recording or no?
Yeah.
Okay, we were recording. Kristen sent me an interesting quote that she saw from online or from somewhere on Facebook. And she said, it said, when a lot of people starts something with I feel or these are my feelings, they're actually sharing a thought, not necessarily a feeling. I know I'm not incredibly in touch with my feelings. Like, I know this. So when you ask me how I'm feeling, I'm going to respond with a thought, especially now. I have a lot of feelings. I'm not in touch with what they are. And the more flooded with feelings I actually am, the harder I double down on thoughts and trying to rationalize and figure out what's going on or what does this actually mean. And that's kind of where I am right now. Beyond that, there's another friend who I want to give a shout out to, Ivory. Somebody who actually brought up the podcast, somebody I had not talked to or interfaced with for a while. She says, "Oh yeah, I listen to your podcast." And you're like, "What? People actually listen to this?" Oh, wait. I mean, I know people listen to this, but I know that there's a fair quantity of people who probably have not met either of us who stumbled down this rabbit hole and are now parasocially invested in us, and who will never let us know about it. That's fine. But shout out to Ivory. And what Ivory sent me a broken heart emoji on Signal. And I responded back saying, "Yeah, I can't, I don't know what to say. I can't even." So there's that. Beyond that, just this recording, just us talking, has forced me to think about what I'm going to say. So I'm grateful for that because it's helped process as opposed to me just wandering around going like, how could this happen? I'm actually thinking, oh yeah, how could this happen? And not that any of my thoughts are correct, but I think I have some thoughts that are simple enough to explain it. Another thing that I'm grateful for is my parents, probably Trump voters. And we're at a point now where I've given up on trying to have a rational argument with them, and I just pretty much take what they say as face value and do my best to continue to participate in the conversation without signing off on what they're saying, but still participating in a way that they don't feel like I'm just gray rocking them. How are you feeling? What are people thinking over there?
I don't know what people are thinking over here. Apart from not believing that this could happen and wondering how stupid the Americans are, which I think is stupid itself. My first thoughts were about, yeah, that this is, I know that for most Americans, this is about America and America only. But I know that America is more than just America and dealing with itself. Your country has a lot of influence in the world and influences a lot of things, maybe especially in Germany. And there's two topics that is on our minds, and both don't look great after. I mean, they look even worse than before. Those two topics, and that's the two topics that I immediately thought about on Wednesday morning. That's the war in Ukraine, because this war has only been going on this long because the US has helped the Ukraine tremendously, and I have a big fear that this help will now be much, much less, which is really bad because Europe is not set up to replace this. And the other is the fight against climate change, against the climate catastrophe, where the last time I went to the US, we met. I took a lot of flights, and I spent a fair amount of time in New York City, for example. And when I came back to Germany, one of the big thoughts was, okay, we can't stop thinking about how we're going to save the world, because as long as the Americans don't help, this will not be successful. And I did not see anything that would suggest that the biggest economy on the planet would be willing to sacrifice anything in order to fight climate change. So, and of course, then hope again took over, and the thought that I grew up with, being everything's going to be good and things are going to get better, because that's how we were raised. They took over, and now this week it's so clear to me that things will not get better. They will get worse, much worse. And I don't know. I'm maybe for a few months now, I have started to think about, okay, how are we going to set up our lives? Catherine and I, very egotistically, how are we going to set this up so we will be able to enjoy it in the next 40 years? So I'm starting to think smaller and smaller, and that's also not good. But yeah, so that is the two topics and things that I've been thinking about the last few days, because this is something where Germany itself is not going to be able to do anything alone. Oh, I don't hear anything. Why do I not hear anything anymore?
No, all right, you're back. Now?
What happened?
I have no idea.
But how much did you hear?
You were talking about Catherine and I. That's the last thing I heard, which I think was... I mean, you were talking about how you went through the cycle of you came to the U.S., you thought, oh, there's no hope for us. Then you started hoping again. Then this happened. You have no hope, Catherine and you. And that's where it cut out.
Make it short. I'm thinking about, okay, where are we going to live? How are we going to set up our lives? How will we manage in 40 years' time when even we are old? And how are we going to live in this world with the weather that we'll have and maybe the society we'll have? Well, and then saying it's just... problem is that this is not, we can't do it by ourselves. We can't even do it by one country by themselves. That's why this new situation is going to be a problem. So I don't know how I'm going to cut this. I'm going to edit this. So I basically, my thoughts were very selfish, and although maybe normal, because I am thinking small again, how are we going to, what are we going to do in the next years and decades? I'm not sure.
I know what I'm going to do.
Tell me.
I mean, Chris and I already have this plan. I mean, our whole thing is going to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out how to live off grid in community. That's, we have a lot more planned. Nothing that we've actually tried to do. There is a piece of property that I'm trying to encourage Kristen to buy up north, just to have property for us to go to and spend time at and start building our off grid life. I think acting at a level beyond what your family is capable of doing or what your community is capable of doing is a lost cause for almost everybody that doesn't know that they can have an effect in that way. I know that there are people who can act at that level and who can accomplish change at that level and who can, and even incremental things that they can make a lot better. But for the vast majority of people whose influence circle extends no greater than, you know, the people that they're in touch with on a daily basis, which for most people is their family, I think that's where you need to think about acting and think about preparing. And there's a lot you can do to survive what's coming in your lifetime and in your child's lifetime. And there's a lot that you, I mean, whether it's taking your house completely off grid, growing your own food. I mean, Chris and I, we just got four gigantic planters in my effort to try to basically get rid of our lawn. My whole thing since moving into a house in the suburbs is like, I don't want to have a lawn. I don't want to mow it. I don't want to do anything like that. And we've not been good at executing on that goal. You know, what? One of the things we have done some things, we've replaced our little fire circle with a clover lawn. So instead of actually being lawn and lawn blades, it's clover, which you don't really have to mow. Mm-hmm. which is fine, and it's good for the earth, it's good for the soil. I think everybody should learn how to grow their own food. There's a lot you can do to make your own food in many privileged parts of the world. And a lot of the people don't like to think about this, but, you know, Germany, why is Germany such a privileged part of the world? What's kind of behind that? Well, agriculture is pretty good in Germany.
Yeah.
Like you can grow food, and there's a lot of there are animals that you can eat that just make themselves in the forests. Like, why were people living in Germany for thousands of years? Because of that. You don't have people that were making huge communities for thousands of years in the Saharan desert, right? Not that there weren't people living there, but agriculture and being in touch with that is that's one of the reasons America became a great nation, is because you had a bunch of people who got kicked out of other places in the world that were able to come to this country and grow food.
Yeah.
And when you can grow food, you can have big families and get population boom, right? I mean, you can say the same thing for China to a limited extent. You could say the same thing for India. But my point, and I'm getting far afield here, is that I think instead of feeling hopeless at the situation, saying there's nothing, yeah, there are things that we can't control, that there's nothing we can do about. And we can spend our time worrying about it, or we can spend our time focusing on things that we actually can't control, which it sounds like what you and Catherine are at least thinking about or doing.
I find it very, now it's very good that you mentioned that it's not just your family, it's your community. And that is also the part that I think I have to start thinking about more. Who is our community? What, and maybe just start speaking to people more about this. I mean, I know that, for example, Cheetah, I would count Cheetah into my community, right? The very closest people that I have in my life. And so I know that he has thoughts on this, because I just know. So that is, and this is also, I mean, this is, he's a part of the chaos community, and where these thoughts about how do we want to live, what's our options, they are more prevalent than in other parts of society, where everybody's just happy with things as they are. Now, things as they are in Germany, Germany is so privileged because the nature phenomena like floods and storms, they are increasing now. But it's very local. So the effects, the catastrophes happen very locally. And there's no, we don't have like year-long droughts. Although even water has been a problem, it has started to be
Spain.
A problem. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, so there's flooding in Europe.
Right. So Spain has drought and such flooding as recently. This is not happening yet here. And I believe that it's going to take some more decades until that happens. I don't know what's going to happen in the next decades. But so the point I want to make is Germany is a good place to be and to live for the next, I'm saying 40 years. I mean, I'm 43 now. So and we don't have children. We will not have children. So that's the smallest community that I'm thinking of is Catherine and me and the people around us. And so I'm thinking about how are we going to live in 30 years when we are around 70, when we are not as young anymore as now, and maybe can't deal with the heat, or no, we know, I don't know that we cannot deal with the heat or the cold as well as we do now. So but
here's the thing. You never know until you know. Like you I don't know how hot it was. Oh, you're in May. It wasn't that hot. I didn't mean to interrupt. You're on a roll.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, okay, for example, I would not want to live in this apartment as it is right now when the 40 plus degree summers are common, right? So either, so that then is the question. I mean, this is a big question in Germany, it's everywhere, but do you live in the city? Or do you live in the countryside? And one thing that I'm thinking about now, right now, I don't want to have air conditioning. I know air conditioning in the US is very, very, very common. But here it is not yet, because I know that it's going to get very, very common because people want to have it, and maybe people need it. So these are just loose thoughts I'm thinking about, okay, how are we going to live in 30 years? Don't have any definite answers, but these are topics.
I wanted to interrupt several times.
Let me. And then you mentioned growing food, and this is for me. I don't know if we ever going to do this. I don't know if that's as possible in Germany as it is in the US because you have more space. But this is that it's something that we haven't thought about yet. Maybe it's going to come in the future as well. I find it. When I go to the supermarket, it's interesting because I grew up in the 80s, 90s mostly, and the shelves on the supermarket, in the supermarkets were always full. There was never anything missing. First time that we saw empty shelves was during COVID. And now
you never went to East Germany as a kid either, did you?
No, we didn't.
There you go.
Right. So that's how I grew up. And then COVID came, and then, you know, all the supply chain problems, it was understood. But now there's parts of shelves are empty regularly. I'm always looking for it. So my thing is I need lactose-free yogurt. And there's often days where I go to the supermarket, maybe tonight as well, where I don't get lactose-free yogurt. So these are just signs that, I mean, this just did not happen 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. Maybe it did and I didn't notice. I don't know. But it's just, I notice.
There's probably many other things because that's a niche thing. There's probably many other. I mean, anybody who takes prescription. Yeah,
that's right, my example. There's other stuff. Right. I mean, there's much more common stuff that's also not there. It's just the one thing that I always see.
Yeah. Oh boy,
makes me think. Did you U.S. media? They probably didn't have time, but did they? Learn that we're gonna have a new election, early elections next year in Germany?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I haven't brought up the AfD once.
The which?
The AfD.
Yeah, AfD, but that's not the reason why we have early elections.
No, I know, but in my head, I can hear a lot of Germans saying, "Oh, Americans, how could you let that happen?"
Oh,
and my defensive response as an American to that is to just point out the AfD, but this is an important thing, and this is what I've kind of stopped listening to media, just like I couldn't like. Basically, this is the weird thing. I think you were the one that let me know what had happened. I think you were the first word. A text from you was how I found out about the election. And my thought was, well, if he's saying that, then it has to have been concluded at some point. And I kind of stopped paying attention to regular media since then. You know, the media that I've been consuming has been, you know, Reddit, Am I the Asshole threads. And I a little bit of news leaks in from those things when talking about their parents and talking about other things like that. One of my weird ideas, which I wouldn't even know how to do, and I don't know if you'd want to talk me out of it, is just starting a podcast called Why Did You Vote for Trump? Talking to people saying, why did you vote for Trump? And just having the not recusing, you know, just trying to have the inquisitive conversation of, you know, what were the things you liked about, the point that I'm getting at and what I've been thinking about and the stuff that I've been rehearsing in my head ever since we agreed to talk, I've pretty much come up with three things. I don't know how universal these are, but my thinking was, how do I get to the most ground level, basic, reductive thought on how and why people vote? The first thing I can think of is people vote with their friends. People vote the way their friends do. If you're if the people in your life are constantly talking about how, oh, Kamala ruined this and blah, 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 and Joe Biden and blah, 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 you're probably going to vote for Trump. Because that's what your friends do. The vast majority of people focus on things other than politics, and that's fine. The focus of their lives is something other than politics. And so in the absence of spending much time thinking about it, they vote the way their friends do. And I think this holds true in Germany as well.
Yeah.
Second thing, people vote. And I think is the biggest contributing factors. People vote the way their friends do. Second thing is if people feel like their lives are going in a positive direction, they vote to keep things the same. If people feel like their lives are going in a negative direction, they vote to change things. Doesn't matter what it is. But I think people, and again, this goes for people and the people that I'm talking about are the people that win elections. Wherever you go, there's going to be a section that will always vote for the right party, for the right-wing party. There's going to be people that are always going to vote for the left-wing party. And it doesn't matter what election you're in. Depending on where you are, like in Chile, for example, that gets closer to 45% either way. 45% of the people are always going to vote for right wing. 45% of the people are always going to vote for left wing. And there's that 10% middle that's hard fought. And I'm also discounting many, many other structural issues in the United States. Structurally, the U.S. was designed in a way to bias rural votes from the very beginning. That's the way the U.S. is structured. So throwing that out the window. I'm talking about the middle people who don't have a strong opinion. So if you don't have a strong opinion, odds are you vote the way your friends do. Beyond that, you vote based on the direction that you think your life is going in. And then there's this third thing that I think really clinched it for Trump. People vote, and this is kind of related to the second one, but people vote for the person who best embodies their comfort zone. There are a lot of people, and I think this, you had a little bit of this going on in Weimar Germany. What happened in Weimar Germany? You had this huge explosion of art and culture and liberalism. People were allowed to be openly gay. People were allowed to be openly weird. And that weirds out a lot of people. There was huge, like, and that's the thing, when we're talking about transgender rights, when we're talking about human rights, the rights of people to live as who they are. And that's what it is when you're talking about the struggle for women's equality, when you're talking about the struggle for equality of non-whites, and you're talking about the struggle of equality who are non-cisgendered and who are non-cisgender, non-heterosexual. They should be able to live as who they are, because living as who they are does not impact anybody else's life. But you talk about bathrooms and you're talking about, oh, well, there's that guy with a penis using the woman's bathroom. That's good. Think about your kids. That's all you need to say to a lot of people to get them to vote for Trump. They vote, like, when you squick out the normies, they vote conservative. Those are the three things that are these scientific conclusions that I've tested? No. These are just kind of thoughts that have rolled around in my head. And I like to think of myself as someone who doesn't vote. I'm probably one of those people that will solidly vote left wing regardless, because I believe in, even though I am one of those people with that strong bias, I believe, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe my bias is informed because I have spent a lot of time. I feel more comfortable around people that are outside of the norm. I feel more comfortable around, my heart goes out to people who were not born with intrinsic privilege. And I believe that when you expand human rights for people whose inborn conditions do not lend themselves to privilege, everybody wins. When you start repressing people based on that, things get really bad for everybody. And now I'm going to get off my soapbox now, but
I think what you described, it holds true. I mean, here as well. I don't know, but exactly. I wonder about the conservatism thing, because the conservative party here, the CDU, CSU, you know this. I feel like if things are going downhill, then people vote for them, and if it looks up, then the left has a chance, which is, I don't know, it's just a spontaneous thought.
And that's true. The other weird thing about Germany is, and this is starting to, now that the people who have a living memory of the Third Reich are starting to die off, in the post-war era, Germany has always tended towards heavily towards the center. Like, I think, and this is the weird thing about the U.S., is that the U.S. flirts with being a centrist or a polarized nation, and it flips every 40 years or so. Chile, on the other hand, I use Chile as another example, is Chile has always been a polarized nation. And it's always been the how dramatically polarized it is. It depends on the era, but it tends, like Germany in the post-war era, has tended more towards centrism. The U.S. flip-flops between centrism and polarism, and Chile has a tendency towards being polarized. And I think when you look at, and that's one of the weird things about the AfD, is that you have this very far-right, almost openly racist party, and then you have a left-to-center and you have a right-of-center. And I think, you know, when you're talking about it's the SDU, right?
SPD?
SPD, no. I'm sorry. Yeah. The SPD and the CDU or the CSU. I know that it's one of those is Bavarian specific.
Yeah, the CSU.
But I forget.
Yeah.
Right. Which is, well, the weird thing is Minnesota, it's, whereas in everywhere else it's a Democratic Party, but in Minnesota it's a Democrat Farm Labor Party. But Minnesota's, I don't know. I don't know what to say about Minnesota and Bavaria, but, and that's the other thing is the left, like the same thing about the left in the US and the left in Germany is that people who are on the very far left are always eating each other and always disagreeing with each other and divide and are very divided. But the right has always been very fascistically unified.
I, maybe it's a tangent. I never understood how one would vote for here, the CDU or CSU, because they were always so uninspiring to me. But recently, now I have to choose my words carefully. Let's say I talked to a person, someone that I've known for a number of years. And I complained about how I don't like my job anymore currently because I'm bored, I don't learn anything, and especially it's going to be the way it's set up right now, it's going to be the same for the next 5 years because nothing changes. The people will be the same. We have to talk about my company.
We have to have a recording about the Workers' Council because really want to hear about that.
Works Council mm-hmm. Not Workers' Council. Anyways, right. It's an interesting, that alone is an interesting discussion, the naming of things. So I said, and I'm looking to go in another direction, maybe tackle some. Go into a different direction. Maybe it's something called data engineering. Sounds very, very good. But it might be something that I'm interested in. And so I told this person that I'm looking around because I am not happy right now. I'm not satisfied with the work I do. So I'd like to change something. Because and if the work doesn't change, then I have to do the change. And so I mean no. If the work doesn't change and I think I have tried everything that I can to make it work for me, then I have to change the work. And their answer was basically, you should be happy with, first, be happy with what you have. Think about what you have. Think about how good things are that you have. And things not changing, things being stable, is a very good thing. And that was the moment when I first realized, now I understand why people would vote for the CDU, because they think it can't get better, and it's they have, let's keep what we have, and don't complain. So that was my understanding. And then my thought was,
wow.
No, I want things to get better. And that is also that my leftist friends, they, or some of them, and we agree now on, we want a leftist populist party or person so that we can talk about how are we going to make things better, what is your vision, how can we, and not how can we keep things the same. Preview: our next election will go, this, it looks very much like we're gonna have a CDU chancellor, and that person is, I don't like him at all. And it's not going to get better and bring us into, make the future better than, I don't know, it's going to be not good. Anyways, that was a realization. So I'm over 40 years old, and I finally understand why one would vote for the CDU. That was also known. The next thought I cannot tell you on air. I'm so- I have
wow.
to tell you later.
Because the weird thing is, I feel like I have to disclose that. I hate saying this, but I feel like I have to disclose that as a young kid, the first campaign that I was involved in was a campaign with a Republican, a very conservative Republican at that. Only because I was a young kid, and this is what my dad did. And he was like, my dad was like, "Hey, you want to volunteer for this guy who is a friend of mine?" "Yeah, sure." And when you're, 15, 16, you're not even 16. I think it was 13, 14. Mm-hmm. And I only remember that because one of his assistants was like, "Hey, can you drive the truck for this?" And I'm like, "I'm 14. I don't have a license." And the guy was like, "Oh, right. I forgot about that." That's the only reason I remember how young I was. And I think that also plays into the fact that, you vote the way your friends do. A lot of people don't think about, one of the questions I really want to ask people on this podcast that I'm never going to do, but I'm going to fantasize mm-hmm. about, is what's one of your favorite policy positions of Trump's? And then go back and actually find that's not actually a policy position of his. Because, okay, well, I'm going to stop talking about that, but I understand where you're coming from about that. Was your family more left-wing, right-wing? Where did you actually grow up in Germany, now that I think about it?
I grew up in the north, in the Lüneburger Heide. My father was from the Westerwald, which is in the Midwest. It's not the Midwest, mm-hmm. but it's in the western part. My mother's family is from the very north, from Schleswig-Holstein. And my father was a soldier. He was a career tank officer. But he was maybe not unique, but he was not the usual soldier, because he was a member of the SPD, and that is not common in the German army. So of course I was once a member of the SPD, but not anymore. And but of course that influenced me. I voted SPD for a long time. Our city, because it is still such an army city, was very conservative, or CDU leaning. I mean, they voted like 60-70% CDU, which is let's say 60, at least 50. I don't know. That's Bavarian. That's almost a Bavarian majority. you don't laugh. You don't get the joke. The CSU had basically 50 or 60% of all votes.
Wait, what was the joke? That's reality. Like, I don't understand what the joke was.
Okay.
No, explain the joke. Break the joke down to me.
The joke is that the CSU in Bavaria basically for decades had like 50 or 60% of all votes in all the elections. And right. But that never usually happened anywhere in Germany, but in my city, they did have an overwhelming majority in all the elections. That
it was not contested.
I think that changed a bit now. So that's where I come from. But I mean the SPD moved so far to not to the right, but so far to center, and into the let's keep what we have instead of let's think about how we want to develop new things, and what's our vision for the future, that I can't vote for them anymore for a long time. I definitely moved way left of what the SPD is today.
So what happened to I have a hard time tracking what's going on with the leftist parties in Germany.
Oh, they're in shambles, I would say.
Happened to Die Linke? What's going on there?
I cannot explain. They will not be part of the next Bundestag. Instead, we have a new party that came out of Die Linke, but it's not a leftist party. It's the Bündnis Sarah Wagenknecht. I know way too little about this. It's a party that has a name of the chairperson in it. Yeah, it's named after the chairperson, which is ludicrous. I know way too little about them to explain it to you.
Can you say who you voted for? Like, who's left of the SPD
last Bundes,
that's viable aside from the Greens?
No, I have to vote for the Greens because there's nothing left, because Die Linke is even weaker than 4 years ago, and there's nothing else. So the Greens are the most leftist party that you can actually vote for. And they are at right now, like at 15%. I looked it up today because I was afraid. I was thinking about, because we're going to have an election in March. And
do the Greens still have a good vision for things? They're still against nuclear power, right?
Nah, nuclear power is dead in Germany. That topic's over.
Okay.
Fight is won.
Okay, so that's totally done.
Yeah.
You're sure? Okay, Have all the plants been shut down, or are there still...
Almost, I think. Maybe. Okay. I'm not sure, but there's very few left. There's probably a few left, but people from the CDU and probably FDP, I don't know, but they're stupid anyways. They are thinking about, let's restart these reactors, and because we need it for the future, and probably because we have to power AI. But let's not talk about AI. But all the experts clearly say that is not going to work, because also the energy companies, they have run these nuclear power plants in a way that, we're going to run these until the end of when they allow to run. And if they wanted to extend that, they would have to do major renovations, repairs,
and the same thing
replacements.
Here.
Yeah. This is not going to work. And so that's why I say this is the topic is through. This is done.
And they're all pressurized water reactors in Germany, right?
Is that the thing that they did not have in Chernobyl? Because then, yes.
No, Chernobyl is a pressurized water reactor.
Okay, like then they, I don't know.
I mean, it was a kind of pressurized, I believe it's a kind of pressurized water. Like, basically, there's the ones where you have the new kinds of nuclear reactors that they're working on, and this is a dramatic oversimplification, and I'm not saying I have a dramatic understanding of it, is that they're self-moderating reactions, whereas in a pressurized water reactor, if you don't have active control over the reaction, you can lose control of it. It can melt down and bad things happen, whereas in these other reactors, which are not as good at making plutonium and are not necessarily nearly as efficient in their use of uranium, you can use less refined uranium products in them. And instead of it being rods of fuel that are mediated by control rods, it's basically a soup that you kind of keep dumping stuff into the soup, and it had like a soup of a reaction. And you can gradually feed more and take stuff out. But when the reaction becomes poisoned, it just turns into a block. It doesn't melt down. It just stops.
I don't know. How do we get to nuclear power plants?
I asked about it because I still have the stickers.
Oh, yeah.
Atomkraft.
Atomkraft, nein, danke. The best variation of that is, I don't have it anymore, I had it on my old laptop, is Anziehungskraft, nein, danke. So gravity, no thanks. It's my favorite sticker of all time.
That sticker probably ended nuclear. I want to say that sticker probably ended nuclear power in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why I asked about that. Because, oh yeah, maybe we're not bringing up AI.
But you said you don't consume media much. I try to avoid it as well. But I think I want to talk about a few podcasts that I listen to, because most of the information I get is from podcasts.
Of course, let me talk about my podcast too.
Yeah. Okay. Then let's do that now. I have to admit, I have to play my trombone tonight because I have a concert tomorrow, and I have to go. I have to go to the supermarket. But
let's finish the podcast and then set up a time to record, because I want to hear about the Works Council.
Yes, yes.
And we still have to talk about your upcoming trip to Mexico, where you're staying in my old apartment.
Yes, that is true. That's a good
which
teaser,
I don't own anymore. I don't own that anymore. No. I don't know who owns it, but
I have only spent money on Patreon, so I have only supported one thing in my life on Patreon that I started a few months ago, and that's a podcast. The podcast is called The Muckrake, political podcast. Do you know it? Have you heard of it?
Oh, no, I have not.
You have not. Okay. It's a political podcast. I don't know how known it is, but I like it. So that's where...
Don't mistake me as a barometer for somebody who knows things or how well known a thing is.
Does the name Jared Yates Sexton tell you anything?
Vague alarm bells.
Okay. Yeah, he's one of the two guys running that. So that is where I get lots of my political information from the U.S. At least that's why it's also a little bit of a self-help groups, self-therapy session there as well. I do still like the Behind the Bastards podcast. And funny enough, I learned about Behind the Bastards, which appears to be one of the biggest podcasts out there. I don't know, maybe not the way you look. Okay, but the Dollop guys were on that, and I found the episodes. They did a 6-part podcast on 6-episode thing on Henry Kissinger.
I've heard about this one. Oh, I've definitely run across this one on YouTube for sure.
And that's when I and basically a few weeks later I stopped listening to the Dollop and only listened to Behind the Bastards. I can recommend it. And concerning AI, there's on the same network, Cool Zone Media, there's a fairly new podcast called Better Offline. And Ed Zitron hosts that, and he talks a lot about how things are falling apart in tech. And of course, AI is a big topic there, and that's basically all where I get my knowledge about that. And then I look around in the world and I see nothing good coming from AI so far, which makes me hopeful that this is just... this is going to go away at some point, but but it's not a big hope. So that's my three most important podcasts right now. It's changing. It changes all the time.
This is going to be super bad. Like, this is going to be awful of me. So the only podcasts I listen to now are Trash Future. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's basically the premise of Trash Future is unless we have automatic, unless we have fully automated luxury gay space communism, the future is trash. And it's a Canadian and a bunch of guys in the UK, mostly talking about UK politics, but also one of the things they used to do frequently, and I don't know if they do anymore, is they pick a random startup and they say just like how awful of a premise this is. Love that.
That's good.
The other two are much more niche, like the one of them is Oh My Fraud, which I listen to because it qualifies for continuing professional education, which I need to do 80 hours of to keep my CPA license. And it's funny. The guys there are quite amusing, and they talk about frauds. And it's amazing how close many startups are to being just frauds. The line there is very, very weird. And what's the next one? There's another. I have not listened to The Dollop much lately. I don't know why. I just kind of stopped listening to it. I can't really tell you why. And then another one, which is, I'm just going to say, it's the Federal Tax Updates podcast, which is for CPE as well. And I find it, I do not recommend that you listen to it because they bring, like, unless you were an accountant, even if you are an accountant, I'm not sure it's worth your time unless you're heavily invested in federal tax, which is what I am, what I do. So, and I'm thinking, I've reached out to these people. I might start another podcast. I might be on a podcast talking about things that you run across as a tax reviewer, because that's my job now, is I review taxes for several different firms because there's a need for that. And it's better than preparing them. that is something that I can actually do and enjoy. But yeah, I think we both have to call this for now. We both have to wrap it up because I have a thing coming up, and you have to go to the grocery store and play your trombone. And it is so great to actually record again.
Yes, it is.
Despite being under somewhat depressing circumstances.
Stick around so I can tell you who that person was that I talked to.
Oh yeah, for sure. Will do. Okay. I'm looking forward to hearing that.
Okay. Then talk to you soon.
Have fun.
Bye.